Welcome back to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining us today. With me is Heaps. How you doing, Heaps?
Fantastic. How are you doing, Kyle?
As good as a guy can be that's 0-2 in fantasy and lost the starting quarterback and lost the Malort bet shot for the week.
Enough money might get you Daniel Jones.
Hey, don't ruin it. Don't ruin my plans.
Well, I can't imagine you're going to be the only person going for Daniel Jones.
Yeah, well, I have to blow it all. There's people sitting on a lot of quarterbacks in this league, so I don't really know what to do. I'll figure something out. I got to get a new tight end, too. Apparently, Loveland is, I don't know. The Bears are idiots. We'll get into that later. but yeah, first things first, we bet. I took an upset bet last week. I said the Giants would beat the Cowboys, and I feel pretty good about that bet in all honesty. Like, that was a goddamn close game.
Yeah.
Way closer than it should have been. I thought they had it, but not quite. Yeah,
they finally let Russ cook. And cook he did.
Chuck it to neighbors downfield. That's all you gotta do. So yeah, I'm pouring my Malort.
Oh,
first of the year.
Straight out the bottle.
Fresh bottle, fresh year.
That's correct. Cheers.
All right. Yeah, cheers.
Lovely.
Been a minute, but still good.
Yeah. You know, once you drink enough of this stuff, you get like a kind of like a sweet taste in there.
Yeah, it's really not bad, and I don't think it has. Like, I understand the flavor can be off-putting, but it doesn't have like the bite that most shots do.
No, it's very smooth.
So shockingly not bad. It's just, you gotta get used to it. It takes a little while.
Well, if you drink enough. It was the double IPAs and the triple IPAs that I think that kind of numbed me to the that Malort taste.
That could be what it is. See, I was pretty into IPAs for a while too. Maybe that's why I came around on Malort. But anyways, we do have a show to do, so.
I suppose. Yes.
We're just going to kind of go into last week's NFL games. Obviously not the Monday night games, because those are currently on. I'm watching the Bucks beat the Texans by a little bit right now. Well, maybe not anymore, but whatever. Back on track. So we're just going to, I'm going to start with the Packers versus the Commies, because that was the first game. It was a while ago now. It was Thursday night.
Yeah, that does seem like a while ago after Sunday's games.
Yeah, right. But anyway, we're supposed to hear Packer fans, and this was an awesome game. I mean, I was extremely thrilled. I was thrilled after week one. I'm even more thrilled after week two. Like, I'm still just busting over this team after this opening week.
Yeah, especially watching the Lions just dismantle. I just destroy the Bears. That makes me feel so awesome about Green Bay's defense. Like, I genuinely think they look like they could be an all-time good defense.
I was going to talk about that after the Lions section, but yeah, I guess we could talk about it now. Like, watching the Lions do, I mean, it's also related to the Bears, so I'll hold off on it for now. But
okay.
It was a good game. I did write some stats down here, though, because just to show what Green Bay's defense is currently doing. So, Jaden Daniels last year, his average rush yards per game were 52.4. Against the Packers, he had 17. The Commanders as a whole, their rushing yards per game in 2024, which does include Jaden's rushes, is 154 yards per game. Against the Packers, they had 51. The Commanders' average points per game last season was 28.5, which was fifth in the NFL, so a very good offense. Against the Packers, they had 18, and that includes a fourth quarter touchdown and two-point conversion, which was essentially garbage time already. At that point, they needed to successfully get two onside kicks to even come back into the game. We held them to 18 nonetheless. Lions, on the other hand, average rushing yards last year in 2024 was 146.4. Against the Packers, they held them to 46 yards. Lions' average points per game in 2024 was 33.2, which is first in the NFL, and that's also an insane number. That's like historically insane. And against the Packers, they had 13, again with a garbage time touchdown. So the Packers essentially shut down two of the top five offenses in the NFL off of last year. It's so impressive. I've got a lot to say about the Packers defense. And I'll get into their offense a little bit at the end too, but it's just been insane.
Yeah. And like watching a lot of these other teams the first couple of weeks, like Green Bay just looks so much better. So much better. Like, I know it's early, but I don't see any offenses in this league being able to do anything. Maybe the Eagles, because they have the best offensive line, but I don't know.
I'm curious what they'll do with the Eagles, because the Eagles, yeah, they do have a good O-line. I mean, if we can stop the tush push, be the first team to ever stop the tush push, that'd be insane. I don't think that's even possible.
That'd be ironic, though, considering Green Bay was the one that was trying to ban it.
Yeah, right. But yeah, I mean, the stats I brought up, I kind of brought them up because one of the biggest fears when we traded away Kenny Clark was we're losing a huge part of our run D. Mm-hmm. And it seems like that concern has been completely shut down. Our run D was not even close to this good last year. I mean, we shut down the Lions' run, which was just absolutely dominant last year. They ran all fucking over us last year when they played us. And that's not even Parsons. Like, Parsons doesn't even really help with that. But I mean, it's not his job, and he's not even on the field half the time currently. But his job isn't to stop the run.
No.
I'm not saying he's bad at it, but this is not what we're asking him to do, and I don't think it will ever be what the Packers ask him to do. Because they've got excellent players to do it for him.
Yeah. What they're doing on the interior defensive line is astounding, considering, like you said, Kenny Clark going to Dallas in that trade. But Brooks, he's playing well. Colby Wooden looks like he's Kenny Clark, just younger. He's playing really, really well. Devontae Wyatt's playing like he was a number one pick, right?
He's a first-round pick.
Yeah, he's starting to look like it. And then I think one of the genius moves of the year might be when they move Lucas Van Ness inside, because he's finally living up to his first-round status with him switching to inside on certain plays, because he's been tearing it up when he's there.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, we have all these high-round draft picks, defensive draft picks, that have kind of been like, God, are these guys ever going to, like, take the step and get better? And, like, all of a sudden,
all at once.
it's crazy.
You don't have to wonder if that's still the Micah Parsons effect. Like, dude, this guy's
definitely
here.
Affects it. Yeah.
Like, everybody's going to want to bring their game up to his level. It's fun to watch.
Andy just draws the attention. You know, I mean, if you're a quarterback and Parsons is on the other side of your line, like, you know you're looking at him. You got to be worried every play. Because you never know when he's going to get around and just destroy you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, I mean, watching some of these offensive, there's been a lot of poor offensive line play these first couple of weeks. Like,
I don't know if the Browns are going to be able to score points against us. I think it might just be a shutout. I don't know how the Browns could possibly get any points. Maybe a field goal. If they get a good field position once. Or two. But like, how could they possibly score? We just held two of the top five offenses to basically doing nothing most of the game. And we're going against the Browns.
Yeah.
And Joe Flacco.
Could be a defensive, real tough defensive game. Little scoring.
I won't get into what our offense is going to do, because that might not be great, because they do have a good defense. But I just don't see how they score.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. Flacco looked bad last week.
And he's not fast. He's old. So line's not fantastic. I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and their running game doesn't really scare me at all. I mean, Judkins finally suited up and looked like he ran the ball well, but still, meh.
And how's our defense? Like, we shut down good running backs.
Much better running backs the first two weeks. Yeah.
And we didn't even mention Edgerrin Cooper, which I did have written down. He has 12 tackles in the first game and 10 tackles in the second game. He's got 22 tackles already. And I think 15 of them are solo tackles.
Holy cow.
I mean, this guy's he's on pace for like 150 tackles this season, which is fucking nuts. That's like Ray Lewis kind of shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if he can be that fucking good, plus Parsons, plus Wyatt and Wooden in the middle. Sky's the limit for this defense.
I mean, and that guy, you know, that could very well be why they're shutting the run down so much, is because if whatever reason they get to that second level, Coop's going to be there.
Yeah. And Quay too. He's been also good, but yeah, Coop's been. Yeah. He's insane.
Yeah. I just saw something today. Teams have inquired about Quay Walker, I guess, but Green Bay's looking at extending him.
Yeah, I heard both those rumors, yeah. Green Bay is trying to shore up a deal before it gets more expensive.
Yeah. You
know, in case we do have this really fantastic season that we might have. Because then other teams are going to be offering him lots of money.
Oh, pretty much that whole team is going to get offered
money. If the Packers can figure it out and offer him something now, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard someone was offering like a fourth or fifth round for him. It's like, dude,
no fucking way
the Packers are letting him go for that.
No.
Especially not when we traded for Parsons. Everyone there believes the team is good enough to go win a Super Bowl. Like, this is not the time where we're going to trade a good linebacker for a fourth or fifth round pick.
A mid draft pick, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just wouldn't make any sense. Like, I can see it if, like, we can't afford to pay everyone, then, you got to let somebody go. I could see it being Quay, but they're clearly trying to lock him up to keep this, like, 3 to 4 year thing we built running for the 3 to 4 years to really take some stabs at it. But yeah, that's the defense. Looking elite. The best I've ever seen. I can't wait to see more of it. Offense, on the other hand, it needs to get better. I feel these games really could have been cemented by halftime in both these games if we would have just clicked on a couple little extra things. Jordan Love had a couple overthrows each game on those deep balls. Like, dude's got to step on the guy. This last week, I think it was Golden. He tried it too. I think the week before it was Reed. But both weeks, you know, we had that fly ball. Or maybe it was Golden. Was it Golden both weeks? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, two times, I mean, Jordan Love just had a guy pass the secondary, easy touchdown if he just spots it. And both times, he just overthrew it by, like, a foot. Like, it's so close, and it's just like, damn, if we could just get that connection down perfectly, you know, an extra touchdown on like one of those two play drives really cements the game.
I feel like what they're doing right now is Jacobs is going and he's hitting the underneath routes and like the mid throws. But yeah, if they can get that long ball going, just have that threat to stretch the field, that's going to open up Jacobs and even more.
Yeah, and it would help if I guess for now Golden's that guy, but when we get
Watson,
when Watson comes back, I mean, he was the fastest player on the team, he's one of the fastest dudes out there, so if we can get him back and Jordan and him can just, you know, figure out the hit him in stride, that's just like that deep threat anytime you might get a touchdown if you don't keep a safety deep.
Well, and so Golden
can scorch anybody, yeah.
Golden too. I mean, you could have
two
burners on each side of the field. That'd be insane. You'd hope, and then forever Tucker Kraft right down the middle.
Yeah, that was my other thing. Kraft, he had a pretty big game: 6 receptions, 124 yards, and a touchdown. He looked awesome once again. Just you get the ball in his hands, and he'll make shit happen. That's such a huge thing to have is for Jordan Love. Also, Packers on offense. Like I was being kind of critical of their offense, but I will say we had in this game we had a 96 yard drive that ended in a touchdown, and a 92 yard drive that ended in a touchdown. So, I mean, the entire field all the way down, touchdowns. It's just, I mean, you're almost having to be nitpicky on this. Like the performances have been so great, and 27 points each game. Like that's like what did I say? Commanders had, they averaged 28.5 last year, and that was fifth in the NFL. So 27 is probably like seventh. So that'd be a top seven scoring offense if you keep scoring 27 every week. That's the thing. I feel like we've missed out on like at least an extra seven each week. So it could be even better.
Yeah, I think even if you're a top 10 scoring offense with that defense, forget about it.
Yeah, you don't need to be top five. Top 10 should be more than enough. I think Parsons said it after the game. He's like, you know, the age old adage, defense wins championships. It's like, if Jordan Love can score 20, we'll win every game. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Defense take care of the rest.
And 20 for that offense, even against a really good defense, doesn't seem far-fetched.
Yes, yeah, with all the weapons they have. I mean, you got Josh Jacobs. He's got 10 straight games of the touchdown now.
Yeah.
Dude gets one every time. Yeah. Yeah, looks good. I am just very excited to see the next Packer game. It sucks they play on Thursday. I get to see him Sunday, and I got to wait all the way till Sunday again to see it.
Yeah. An extra few days for Mike to rest up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he was also complaining about he does not like being on a snap count. So, who wants to be out there? But I mean, I'm sure he has to understand. You were on the team on Thursday night. I think he was on the team for 2 weeks exactly. So,
yeah,
you know, again, I guess his job's pretty straightforward when he's in there. The guy who gets the ball snapped to him, run after him as fast as you can. But any other, yeah, any closing words for Packers/Commanders?
That was awesome. Like, I know we discussed it after week one. We were interested to seeing how they would do against the running quarterback, and boy, they shut him down.
Yeah, I think they actually injured him, as a matter of fact. Sounds like he might miss time.
Yeah, he's questionable for week three. Sounds like that might be a game time decision type thing.
Yeah, I mean, he played out the game, but I'm pretty sure it happened that one play where Parsons was chasing him down. Daniel was running away, but he turns over his shoulders and look back at Parsons, and I don't know who it was, but someone just comes up and fucking smokes him. And yeah, it kind of hit him right in the knees, and he wasn't really running much after that, so I think that's where he got hurt. And yeah, I don't mean to make light of an injury, but you can't look backward. You can't look the opposite direction you're running. That's, you're asking for trouble.
Yeah, if Micah Parsons is chasing you, don't look at him.
Yeah. Well, don't look at him when you're about to cross the line of scrimmage and you know there's going to be other guys coming. Like, other people are watching you. He's a young quarterback, I guess, though. I mean, that's the one way to learn the lesson. Hopefully he doesn't do that kind of thing again. Yeah, then we'll jump onto the Lions versus the Bears as the second NFC North matchup of the week. I did write some notes for this one too. What is it? Oh yeah, the Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck. The Bears still suck.
The Bears still suck.
That's really about it. That pretty much sums up that game. And then on to no, I'm just kidding. But the Lions won 52-21. Goff, he was 23 for 28. He had 5 touchdowns and 5 incompletions. That's insane.
I feel like he had quite a few of those games last year where he had as many.
He did, yeah. I mean, at least like, I don't know if it was quite a few, but I know he had at least 3 or 4 of those kind of games.
Actually, didn't he have one where he was perfect? Like 27 for 27 or something like that?
He might have. I think he might have missed one near the end in that game. If you want to look it up, you can. But yeah. I mean, even against the Packers, he only had like 4 incompletions against the Packers the week before. You know, he just didn't have time to throw it past the line of scrimmage. So, but I mean, he was accurate when he threw it even last week.
Yeah, he did. He went 18 for 18 for 18 for 292 and 2 touchdowns against the Seahawks last year, September 30th, 2024.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's an insane performance from him. Beyond that, we had Gibbs. He went for 94 yards and a touchdown. Monty went for 57 yards and a touchdown. Amon-Ra got 3 touchdowns and 112 yards.
Yeah,
Jameson Williams went for 108 yards and a touchdown. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of touchdowns. Touchdowns is fucking everywhere. Tesla had a crazy one-handed catch on the sideline. I think that was his only catch.
He's got two catches on the season, and they're both probably going to be catch of the year candidates.
Like, they're both like circus catches.
Like, he should just tie one arm around his body and just play one-handed at this point.
I mean, Lions offense was impressive. But again, it's the Bears, so I don't know how impressive that is. I mean, I'll get into that a little bit more. The only thing I really had to knock on the Lions was, like, their D-line did not look that impressive compared to how they looked last year when they were healthy. I didn't feel like Caleb was under really a lot of pressure early on, and, I mean, once they knew he was throwing it, which was, I guess, like, the second half, they were kind of starting to get to him, but early on, it didn't seem like doing a lot to him. Caleb's just not great, and he just fucked up a lot of throws.
From a lot of what I've been seeing is he sucks in the pocket. He's only good when he can improvise, and he's on the run. Because, it seems like doesn't have a whole lot of pocket presence, and he panics easy, and that's no good.
Yeah, he takes off too easy rather than step up. You know, like, he doesn't want a guy behind him that might get him.
Yeah, you can tell he doesn't want to step up. He wants to run.
And I get that reaction. And I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Like, when he runs too, like, you'll see, like, he's not always looking downfield to, like, actually find a guy until he, like, gets all the way to the side. And he's like, all right, now I can look.
Yeah.
I'm also about to be out of bounds. And then once in a while, he makes an incredible throw from there. Like, crossbody back to midfield, and he just hits a dude in the hands, like, but then more often than not, he does something dumb and it's misses the dude by 10 yards.
Yeah, and throws a pick.
That was really my only... Yeah, that was my only nitpick with the Lions. I just felt like their front seven just weren't really pushing the Bears around all that much. And Caleb kind of just had time. And if it weren't for Caleb being so bad, like, they could have been scoring more points earlier on and maybe kept that a game, but it didn't go that way. But yeah, I mean, this kind of leads into what we were talking about before. I mean, just to see the Lions make that kind of a performance after watching the Packers hold them to doing, like, almost nothing is crazy. Because now we know for sure, like, their offense doesn't suck.
No.
Like, it was great last year. It sucked really bad for one game against the Packers, and then it was great again the next week against a different team. So, I mean, part of the week one performance was, like, maybe the Lions just fell apart in the offseason. They lost their coordinators. They lost their three interior O-linemen. That does not seem to be the case. I don't know if I'm happy about that or sad about that. Like, it's cool because it makes me feel better about the Packers' D, but it's bad because I'm like, damn, the Lions are still going to be good, eh?
Yeah. I still don't see him giving Green Bay much in their second matchup.
It's Thanksgiving matchup, too. Should be a fun one.
Ooh, heck yeah. Turducken on the line.
Yeah. See who's eating that at the end of the game.
Micah.
Jordan Love finally had his after getting stubbed the first year, so maybe he'll skip it.
Yeah.
Yeah, any other thoughts on Lions, Bears?
Nothing additional. Lions, Lions look like they're the Lions, and the Bears still suck.
Some things never change.
Yeah, some things never change. Jordan Love will be the next mayor of Chicago.
our last match, we had the Vikings versus the Falcons. So, I didn't see this one coming at all.
No. I'm glad I'm not in any pick 'em leagues.
Yeah, I got this one wrong. Because,
I thought Atlanta was going to be garbage. I mean, and maybe J.J. McCarthy isn't good.
Yeah, he sure didn't look good. I mean, I've got some stats in front of me. He was 11 for 21 in passing. He had two picks. He had three fumbles. Only lost one of those, but he fumbled it three times. Fumbled for a lost possession one time. And their rushing wasn't any better. They had 78 total rushing yards and 236 total yards gained that whole game. I mean, it was bad. They looked awful.
Yeah,
the Falcons didn't look that good either. I mean, the Falcons, it was just exchanging of field goals for most of the game until the Falcons finally scored a touchdown near the end, but yikes. I mean, I think it goes back to the Bears again and just the Bears sucking because, like, the Vikings looked like, I mean, they didn't look great last week overall, but, like, that final stretch, it was like, oh, shit. Yeah. McCarthy was a rookie. He's figuring it out now, getting comfortable, and came back in 3 touchdowns in 12 minutes, whatever the crazy shit was he did. That speaker just comes out and right on their face.
Yeah. I didn't know Atlanta had a pass rush, but they harassed him that whole game. And now it sounds like I think he's definitely out. It's the Carson Wentz show for the couple weeks.
3 to 4 weeks, he's out with an ankle. But I don't remember him hurting his ankle in that game. You heard it like in the locker room when fucking someone kicked him in the ankle. Like, hey,
do something.
I mean, I was curious. I'm like, is the coach just like, you hurt your ankle? He's like, no, I didn't. It's like, you hurt your ankle. When's it starting for 4 weeks? Unless you want me to go on the podium and tell everyone you're getting fucking benched.
Yeah, you hurt your ankle. I love that.
Because he didn't leave the game at all, did he? I mean, he played till the end.
I don't think he left
the game. I guess Jaden Daniels did too, and he might be sitting for a while. When the adrenaline's pumping, sometimes you don't realize if shit's actually hurt or not. But yeah, I mean, that's just a crazy swing. I mean, we're in week two, I guess, so we shouldn't be crazy overreacting. I don't want to write J.J. McCarthy off either, because again, this is the second game ever as a starter. NFL's hard. There was nothing promising to be said about him in that game, in all honesty. No. Like, at least in the first week, you know, for 3 quarters, you're like, fuck, this guy sucks. But then you saw something, and you're like, okay, this could be a thing. And then week two comes, and 4 quarters of... they were the same as the first 3 quarters. We're like, fuck, I don't see anything promising about this quarterback at all.
Like, Minnesota's defense isn't supposed to be too bad. But they are definitely not... Minnesota is definitely not that team they were last year, at least through the first 2 weeks.
They do not like their magic.
They are, yeah. We can get into Darnold magic later.
Unless you have anything else to talk about that game. I've got a couple other NFL games I was going to bring up.
Yeah, no, I don't have anything else on Vikings-Falcons.
Yeah, so the other ones, I mean, the obvious one is Chiefs. They started 0-2. And they go up against the Giants, who have nothing to lose and everything to gain next week. Think there's any chance the Giants beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, actually, hell yeah. I think they can beat the Chiefs.
I think it's possible too.
The Giants have a great pass rush.
I know.
So they can get after Mahomes, and Kelce has not looked like Kelce. So if Kansas City can't get the running game going,
which they haven't so far.
I don't know. No, and Nick Chubb, touchdown. Yep,
just housed it.
1914 Texans.
The Chiefs' offenses look pretty inept outside of like Mahomes' scrambles. That's like the only thing getting them first downs, it seems like, this year. Which he's always been decent, though, but it's usually not like what they're relying on regularly.
Yeah, Mahomes should not be that team's leading rusher.
No. was he 2 weeks in a row?
I think, yeah, maybe not week one, but week two for sure. I mean, if Russ can throw 400 yards a game, just fuck it. Neighbors is out there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, you can try it.
Seemed to work last week.
The Giants have they've got a good D. And if they can just contain Mahomes from getting those scrambles. I mean, maybe the team just needs to start putting a spy on him and be like, this is all you guys have, apparently. We're not going to let you get away with this, so.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sacrifice a player to put a spy on Mahomes rather than double cover receivers and have deep safeties, but maybe that's what's going on right now.
Yeah, they don't, well, I, they got Juju Smith-Schuster and, who's the other
Brown.
Guy? Yes, Hollywood Brown, thank you.
Yeah. And Kelce. Yeah, I mean, I get it. They're down there, 2 starting wide receivers. That does suck.
Still.
But it's still crazy.
Championship teams, it's next man up.
Yeah. Well, and the Packers are down there, 2 starting. Reed's out and Watson's out.
Yeah.
We can still pass the ball, at least.
Yeah.
We're not looking that inept.
Wick steps up. Tucker Kraft. Golden. Even though Golden hasn't made much of an impact yet, but just wait till he does. But anyway, back to...
Yeah, those guys are getting close.
It's, yeah,
I mean, it's... Chiefs start 0-3. I mean, I'll be loving watching sports media for that week if they mess up the Giants.
Oh yeah, I'll have. It's weird seeing Kansas. It's weird seeing Kansas City be average. But yeah, if they were just to, especially to the Giants, if they were to go to 0-3, I'll have to watch some Kansas City beat reporting and stuff. See if people are going just bananas down there.
Well, they'd have to be. I mean, they haven't started 0-2 even in Mahomes' career, have they? I can't imagine that they have.
I don't think so. It's not how you start, it's how you finish, though. It is.
I mean, it's 2 weeks. And they went up against a divisional rival and then the reigning Super Bowl champs. That's a hard first 2 weeks. I'll grant them that. But that's what I'm saying. If they were to lose to the Giants, which I think is generally regarded as a poverty franchise right now, that's going to set off a shitload of alarm bells. But yeah.
Who knows? I mean, Russ looked good against the Giants or against the Cowboys, but he's got to be throwing for his job with Dak Jackson Dart waiting in the wings. And, you know, Giants fans, as soon as Russ is bad, they're going to want his head.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that might happen after week one, but they gave him a second week.
Against soft Dallas defense. Man, if only they had a guy like Parsons on their team.
I know, right? Really helped him out in that game. Well, they won it anyways. Barely. Against the Giants. Yeah, my next matchup was Cowboys-Giants, which with the overtime craziness. Yeah, those guys, like, they scored like nothing all game. Fourth quarter, both teams just started scoring like crazy. They managed to tie it. They go to overtime, and then both teams got the ball like three times without scoring again. And then finally Dallas wins it with a field goal. It was a strange on and off switch during that game.
I think Dallas's MVP right now is Brandon Aubrey.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know he was a former soccer player. I don't know much about kickers, in all honesty. I learned it during the broadcast. Yeah, it's my camera all blurry. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
No. Dak finally balled out. He looked good against the Giants. Oh, there we go. Yeah. Now you're back.
Yeah, I guess it was lack of light. Yeah, I mean, Dak's a good quarterback. He can always have games like that. He can also have pretty bad games, too, though.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, my next matchup was Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. Definitely came back to earth this week. After coming off hot week one, Aaron Rodgers looked bad. I mean, it was back to...
They started off well, but then totally fizzled as the second half of that game went on. Oh my God, Caleb Johnson, like, what are you doing, dude?
Yeah.
Just gifted the Seahawks that touchdown on the kickoff. Like, come on. That's the kind of stuff that gets you cut, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have him in two of my fantasy leagues because I was like, I thought he was good. And I thought, like,
yeah,
I knew he was going to be the starter week one, but I was like, I think he's talented. And they obviously liked him because they drafted him. I was like, I could see, like, week 7 or 8, he could be their starter because I didn't think there was that much talent in front of him. But, yeah, shit like that's going to set you way back and give you way less opportunity to get on the field and prove yourself.
Jalen Warren's actually looked pretty good as a feature back.
He has so far.
But, like, Caleb Johnson wasn't even getting... He wasn't above Gainwell on the...
Nope.
On the depth chart. Like, oof.
Yeah, well, I mean, when I drafted him, I thought he'd be, like, the number two or, like, there'd be a 2A, 2B. But then, before the season started, it's like, nah, he's the third stringer. And then he gets in the game, he does stupid shit like that. It's like, God damn it, dude. Now you're like a deep third stringer. Barely going to be on the field unless we have to put you on the field. At least for a couple weeks. Like, you're going to get...
He's going to be in the...
Yeah, you'll be in the doghouse for that. Tom is not going to put up with that kind of shit.
No, definitely not. Aaron, thank God Aaron's got DK.
Yeah, and I was, at least he got that touchdown this game. I figured the Seahawks would probably, you know, when you trade a player away and you have to go against them, like, I feel like that, especially a receiver or a running back, I feel like the team sells out to stop those guys. Because you never want to be embarrassed by, like, yeah, we traded this guy away and he came back to town and got three touchdowns on us, so. I feel like you scheme to make sure they do not make you look like an asshole for letting them go. I mean, at least it seems like teams do that, and I would probably do that. You don't want to look like the fool.
And Darnold looks like he might be all right in Seattle.
Yeah, Darnold's looking good. Daniel Jones is looking good with the Colts.
It's like the
era of these bust quarterbacks getting second chances and coming out and looking good. It's very strange. Geno's doing it. Baker's doing it right now. I mean, it's so bizarre.
Destroying Miami looks like everybody's going to destroy Miami. I don't think Green Bay, unfortunately, gets Miami this year because, holy crap, would I love to see that.
That'd be a show.
But for him to come out, especially like Denver's supposed to have one like top five defense in the league, and he took them apart too. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. Okay. Danny Dimes is back. Oh, now they call him Indiana Jones.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a nice one. Yeah, that's all the matches I had written down. I tried to watch as much as I could, but I couldn't keep all of them on at once. NFL does that shit where they put like 8 games on at noon and then 3 games on at 3. So why don't you spread them out a little better? I don't understand the point of that.
Yeah, I never games
on Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to start watching Chargers Raiders. I don't know how far I'm going to get, but I'm at least going to start it because I think it's going to be a good game.
Yeah, I'll turn it on my phone.
I actually kind of
when I go to bed, but I'll fall asleep pretty quick, I would guess, unless it's actually a good game right off the bat.
Now that I've got Sunday ticket, I actually do want to start paying attention to a lot of the AFC West games this year because I think that's going to be a super fun division because all 4 of those teams I think are good. Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, and Broncos. That's going to be
the Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs are good enough to be like 8-9, 9-8, so they're not going to be out of it.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Just banking on a bold prediction, carrying me all the way to the end.
I was going
to
say, yeah.
Chiefs missed the playoffs.
Chiefs missed the playoffs. So it's going to be like probably going to be the best prediction of the whole year.
If Buff can win MVP and I get 2 out of 3, I'll take that. I don't think DK is getting that touchdown record unless him and Aaron really get it together. I don't know if Aaron's going to last the season either. He's gotten sacked like 6 times, 7 times in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a lot for an old man.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not going to be able to keep taking 3-4 sacks a game.
But what else can he do? I mean, he can't escape him, really. Then his line's not that good.
Hey, fuck it, DK's out there.
Throw it fast, yeah. That's all you can really do. I can look up something we can bet on for next week. If you want to pick an upset.
Oh, yeah.
You can pick an upset this time.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's one I'll like over-under on the Browns score.
Ooh.
If I give you a 5,
I'm going to look at the
over
action.
Or under. I'm just saying the Browns score, not like the total points.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, so Browns points.
Yeah, just the Browns points.
I'm going to go over.
Do you think they'll get 2 field goals or more?
Yeah, I think they'll score
a touchdown.
I would say 10 at the most. Like they'll probably get like a field goal maybe in the first half and then a garbage time touchdown.
I guess I feel like I'm being pretty generous putting it at 5. Whatever. I said it.
Six would be a good line.
Move it to 6? Okay, we'll do 6 and you're taking over. 6.5. Let's do 6.5.
Yeah, yeah.
So if they only get 2 field goals, I win. If they score a touchdown, you win. Or 3 field goals, whatever.
Yeah, okay. 6.5. I'll take the over. Yeah.
Okay.
Mark it.
All right, cool. We got to
write that down.
Week.
Gotta write that down so I don't forget.
Yeah, you can just text it to me. 6.5. Text me 6.5. I'll remember what it was for. Well, unless you got more to say, I'm going to call her there.
No, I think I'm good.
Cool. Well, thanks everyone for listening, and enjoy your Jameis Winston quote of the week. Good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Jameis Winston has stole the crab legs. Next thing you know, I'm sweeping up YMCA's
washing off the weights at a local YMCA, you know what I'm saying? Sweeping the pool out.